Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday afternoon here at the Man's Voice. We're in the home office here at 6 p.m. and it's 3 p.m. in other places like California. But we hope that you had a wonderful holiday weekend, Martin Luther King Day. I mean, there's so many people that remember that. I was just in the barbershop yesterday where he used to go, which is right around the corner from the Ebenezer Baptist Church, and the conversations they had with the older men that kept coming in the barbershop about the weekend was just fascinating. But we've gone through a lot since the last time we were on the air, and I have a few of the panelists on the air. And as we start off 2021, we want to make sure that everybody on the panel gets to talk about what they want to talk about. So we'll do a lot of moving around this year. But I also want to start with letting everybody tell us how you're feeling about where we are, because, you know, we just changed presidents of the United States, and there was a lot going on. So let me get thoughts from the panelists on where they feel we are right now. Ron, why don't you start the conversation off with 2021 by telling us how you feel about the United States and all that we've gone through and where we are today.
Yep. Happy New Year, everybody. Like you said, David, we have been through a lot, and I think we're still in the midst of many crises that we're dealing with, and which aren't going to go away anytime soon, unfortunately. And I'm talking about, of course, coronavirus and the economy and all of that. You know, when the rioters stormed the U.S. Capitol, you know, that was a poignant point in U.S. history. That people from around the world are going to remember that day as a day in infamy. But I do have to say that, you know, I was scared to death watching the inauguration, and I was glued to the TV sets that day, even though I was, quote unquote, working. I had the TV in the background or foreground, but the boss doesn't know that. And it was, you know, when he was sworn in, when President Biden was sworn in, I guess I can describe it as a big sigh of relief. Not just that, you know, everything went smoothly, but that there was no chaos, that there was no violence. And I don't know if there was violence in other cities or other states around the country. I didn't hear about it, really. But, you know, I was thankful that nothing happened in Washington, D.C. It was an orderly transition of power, albeit very different from what we in the world are used to seeing with the multitudes of people. But, you know, it is what it is, you know, with coronavirus and with the threats of violence, that it needed to be the way that it happened. So I think collectively, there's a lot of people around the world, not everybody, of course, and there's still people that believe that that the election was stolen, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that. But I think around the world there's a collective sigh of relief, and you know, I've heard leaders from around the world saying, you know, welcome back, America, we've missed you, et cetera. So I think Biden is going to have a lot of challenges, probably more than any president that I can that I'm at least aware of. But you know, I think he's off to a pretty good start. I know the right wing conservatives probably disagree with some of the actions he's already taken, but you know, that's what happens when you have bipartisan two parties, you know, basically that sometimes are at odds with each other. So I'm happy. You know, I haven't even brought it up. I've been as courteous as I could, and I haven't even brought it up to my own family because I really don't want to talk about politics anymore because it divides us, and it divided the country for too long.
Right. All right, Don, what are your thoughts on where the country is right now?
Hello, David. Hello, everybody. How you guys feeling today?
Good. How you doing, Don?
Good, good. Ron, you summed it up very well, and I was going to ask you how your family felt about it, and has the healing process started? But you know something, Ron? Give it some time, and it will happen, because I think we're on the verge of reconciliation and healing after a difficult 4-year period that we've gone through. This has been one of the most difficult 4 years I've experienced in my life, with the pandemic, the racial unrest, the economic disaster that we've gone through, and then to have the Capitol attacked, takeover. The world was watching, and that was devastating. I hope they don't get the impression they could try that. And that's a major concern, because that should have never happened. But, David, to answer your question, I'm feeling like we can start the healing process. I know we on this call have had a lot of differences of opinion, and that's what politics is all about. Differences of opinion. But now, look, we've gone through. Let's join together and heal this country and heal the land, because we've got some big challenges ahead of us moving forward. And I feel pretty good today.
All right. That's good. One of the things I want to, before we move on, let me get to, let's continue on. Somebody has a background. I think that's you, Don, have a radio or a TV on in the background?
No, not me.
Okay, whoever it was knew it and stopped it. Okay. Michael, what are your thoughts on where we are with the country right now?
Well, first, I just want to say hi to everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. I'm very, very proud to be an American for the first time in 6 years. I can honestly say I feel really, really good and proud and just happy to be an American. I'm very optimistic about where our country is headed. I have not been optimistic about where our country is headed since Barack Obama left office. I just want the Democrats to get tough. That's my only concern, David, is that I'm hearing a lot of chatter about they don't want to prosecute and do the impeachment against Donald Trump. I think before we can heal and move forward, we have to deal with what divided us, and that was Donald Trump and that whole far-right racist radical movement. So I think we need to tackle that before we can move forward, because if we don't tackle it, it'll just rise again, and then we'll just be right where we were. So, and part of that, I think Kamala Harris being the vice president is going to be a part of that, because before she was vice president or senator, she was attorney general here in California. That's how us in California got to know her. And she was very aggressive on going after far-right extreme racism and things of that nature. Like, she was very tough on the sheriffs and things like that here, rooting out racism. So I think she's going to make that her goal when she gets – well, she is in office, but once she really gets the ball rolling is to stomp out that whole – what we saw on January the 6th, which is – Ron, you're right. That's a day that we're living in infamy. It is. It's similar to Pearl Harbor. Like, those were just far-right radical, the racist Confederates that we allowed to live and breathe over the last 50 or 60 years with their statues and their monuments. I think we should just squash them, and I think that's what Kamala's going to do once and for all. Other than that, I'm happy. I'm really proud to be an American. I haven't been this proud in a long time, so I'm very optimistic about where we're going, David.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Now, Spencer, I know you're basically a sports guy, but I know sports, we lost Hank Aaron, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but where are you in the broad sense of where we are in America right now?
I'm going to echo everybody else, you know. I think we're in a good spot right now. I think it's a great turnaround. I mean, it's still yet to be seen, so as far as, you know, what Michael was saying, you know, are the Democrats going to actually push back, or are they just going to just let it go? But I still think it's still yet to be seen, but I think we're heading to the right direction. I feel like we've got, at least got our foot in the door. So it'll be interesting to see how these first 100 days, you know, vaccine, you know, he wants – how do you make doses in the first 100 days? Is that going to – is it going to be close, you know, 70, 75? No. Or is that going to happen? He also wants the, you know, stimulus package. So
Michael, sorry, do you have another radio or something on in the background and it's fighting with your – whichever you're talking on now? So I can hear myself talking. You have a radio on. Turn the – get away from the radio.
I don't have a radio. Absolutely. I mean, I do this with echo. It could be my phone, or I don't know what it is. But...
okay. Well,
go ahead. But basically, that's it. Still, I mean, I think we got our foot in the door. We're heading in the right direction. It's still yet to be seen. I think the first 6 months would determine at least something. Also, we could see where we're headed.
All right. Let me ask a question. You know, the House impeached Donald Trump again this month for inciting the attempted insurrection on January the 6th. Do you believe that Trump should be barred from running for elected office ever again, Ron? Do you think so?
David, before I answer that question, just to be fair, don't you think we should get the other side's point of view, if we have Bruce and Darius on the line?
I'm trying to find Bruce and Darius. They're not on the line. They're hiding out.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't say that, but no, they're not there.
Oh, okay.
And I sent them texts, but they haven't answered.
Yeah, so to answer your question, do I think former President Trump should be impeached? Absolutely. I don't think this is something, I mean, this was an act of war against this country. This is not something that can simply be brushed under the carpet, under the rug, and look beyond and try to forget what happened. You can't. You've got to deal with what happened, and you know, you've got to be able to you know, pass the what is that called? The money for the relief package. You've got to be able to do that. But at the same time, you've got to move forward. The Senate has to move forward with the impeachment trial. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I think, you know, if there's a good number of level-headed Republicans out there, which I'm hoping there are, he will be impeached, and the reason I say that I'm hoping that happens is because that'll, I think, if I understand correctly, it'll bar him from ever running for federal office again, which is what I think needs to happen, because I don't think he's not fit for any kind of office. So that's my thought.
What about you, Don?
David, I think we should proceed vigorously with the impeachment and give both parties a chance to present their case, give Donald Trump an opportunity to get a legal team to defend himself, although he's going to have a difficult time because when someone shows you who they are, believe them. And he showed us exactly who he is, especially during the last month or two. And the thing is, we need to go ahead and impeach him because he should not be able to run again. And then we need to send a message to the future presidents. Never again will we accept anything like this in the United States of America. Never again. So, yes, we've got to move forward.
All right, guys, I'm going to name some issues here, and I want you, as I run these off, and I want to come back to you, and I want you to tell me what two of these issues do you think President Biden, Vice President Harris, and the Senate Democrats need to prioritize over the next 2 years. Now, let me give you some issues: combating COVID-19, healthcare, reproductive rights, upholding marriage equality, climate change, gun safety, the future of the Supreme Court, international relations, campaign finance reform, raising the minimum wage, paid family and sick leave, or college affordability and accessibility. Ron, what two would you say are important for President Biden and Vice President Harris and the Senate Democrats to prioritize over the next 4 years?
Well, that's a pretty exhaustive list there, and to me they're all important. But if I had to pick the two that I think should be priority right now, obviously COVID-19, and I know some of you may not agree with my second choice, but my second choice would be climate change. I think we need to start dealing with that immediately.
All right. What about you, Don?
Yeah, David, I think the top priority that we should deal with is health care. Health care is an area that has been disproportionately unequal among people of color and also people that are getting up in age. We need to take care of the health care situation in America, because if you can't be healthy, then you can't really enjoy the other fruits of life. And then the economic condition in the United States, where families need to be strengthened as far as jobs and employment.
So you're
I think those two.
Raising the minimum wage is important?
Yes, that's important.
Okay. So,
and that's one of the things that they already put that in. That's one of his initiatives, right? $15.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So,
that's good.
Okay. What about you, Michael? What two would you say needs to be prioritized?
Well, the two things I think you left my two off the list. The two things I think. Which I think should be criminal justice reform should be the first and foremost. And the reason I say that is because President Biden said clearly that he owes a debt to the African-American community, which he does. And the most important thing in the African-American community is criminal justice reform. So I think criminal justice reform definitely needs to be on that list of things they should tackle in the first few days. But, of course, COVID. I'm going to put COVID at the top of the list. I mean, I think they have been very aggressively going after COVID in just their first few days. I think minimum wage is very important, but I think I'm on the fence with that one because the cost of living is different in every city and every state. So I don't know if $15 an hour in Iowa is the same as $15 an hour in Los Angeles. So I'm kind of on the fence about the whole minimum wage. So I would say COVID-19, of course. I would say criminal justice reform, and I'm going to go with Ron and climate. I think climate change is very, very important. So those are my tops.
All right. Spencer, what two would you say need to be prioritized?
Criminal justice reform, I think, will go a long way. And I want to say the minimum wage. Even though I know every state is different, I still think it will help out a lot of people and a lot of families. I know prices don't went up and everything, but I think once everything gets back to normal, you know, the minimum wage at $15 will offset some of that, and it will help out a lot of families and put more money in their pockets and more savings.
All right. So we have two people that brought up a additional challenge for the team, and it was criminal justice reform. And so I got a little bit from Michael what I think you mean by that. But what are you including gun safety as part of criminal justice reform?
Yeah, absolutely. But when I talk criminal justice reform, I want to go deep into the woods on it, because obviously we've had the conversation as a nation about criminal justice reform for many, many years. But we need to go deep into the woods of that, when it's more than just gun reform. I'm talking sentencing reforming. I'm talking about wiping out the felonies of a lot of people in this country who got felonies they didn't deserve, majority being black and brown people. I'm talking about sentencing. I'm talking about financing, going, cutting the budget of the BOP, the Bureau of Prisons. They have a $2 billion budget. And when you got a $2 billion budget for any company, you're going to need customers. And those customers just happen to be black men who they consider to be commodities. So I would talk about cutting the budget going to the prisons. So criminal justice reform, it goes really, really deep. I would hold prosecutors accountable. I think if a prosecutor wrongly put somebody in prison, that prosecutor should go to prison and do the exact same amount of time you gave the person that didn't be in there. So I think when I say criminal justice reform, David, I don't want to just scratch the surface like we've always done. I want to dig deep, because it's more black men right now under the criminal justice system that were slaves in 1854. So the criminal justice system is just another form of slavery. So that's a very deep, deep conversation they need to have. And I just cross my fingers that Kamala Harris has that, because Biden will not have a deep conversation about it like that.
You know, when you say, and I want to dig a little deeper with you on this piece, in criminal mm-hmm. justice reform, a lot of it is prosecutors and the court who try to prosecute based on information that they have people. And sometimes I'm very concerned that the prosecutor takes a lot of lies and try to turn them into where they violated the law. So are you trying to get to what are you going to do about the court piece? Because you said, yeah, the police officer did it and they did wrong. Yes, all this happened. But when it gets to the court, the prosecutor gets all those lies and thoughts from the police officers and all the people that want to have somebody put away. So how do you, what is it you think that needs to happen in terms of court? And one of the things that really annoys me is all these judges that are now on TV acting so like courts are their bailiwick to tell people, you can't cross your arms in my courtroom and you're trash and all that. I think courts really need some overhaul. But right now, that's where the people are being sent to jail from the courtroom. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I would. There's a lot there, David, but I'm going to start with the relationship between the prosecutor and the police officer is too chummy-chummy. It is too buddy-buddy. So I would eliminate the unions. I would start by getting rid of the police unions, because that goes there. So secondly, I would get rid of all that power being in the judge's hand to give a person 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I think the power should be invested in the people as far as sentencing, meaning that if I get convicted of the crime, it should be up to the people to say how much time I get, not to this one judge who's normally an old racist conservative white man to have all that power in his hand. So I would eliminate that. I would eliminate the jury of your peers. I mean, I'm very open with the fact that I just went to trial and I lost. I was judged by 12 white people who looked nothing like me. They were not my peers. So I would fix the whole being judged by a jury of your peers. If my peers mean peers, mean I wanted 12 black men who were my age to judge me, not 12 white women from Beverly Hills when I grew up in Compton. Like, so I would fix the whole judging by a jury of your peers, because never in history has 12 black people sent a white person to prison. Never in history. But all throughout the history of this country, 12 white people send black people of color to prison. So that's a huge problem right there. So it's really a deep – I don't want to take up all the time, David, but it's a really deep conversation in regards to criminal justice reform.
All right. I want to say Bruce joined us, and I wanted to ask Bruce a question. Bruce, we have this question. We went through the panelists, but I wanted to throw it out to you because I want to get your opinion. And what I said was, you know, the House recently impeached Donald Trump again this month for inciting attempted insurrection on January 6th. Do you believe that Trump should be barred from running for elected office ever again? And welcome, Bruce. Happy New Year.
Can you hear me?
Yes, well.
Yeah. I've given that question a lot of thought. And I went back, and believe it or not, it's hard enough to find in some places, it's hard enough to find what totally was said and all that. Did Trump in some ways stir people up and create a lot of emotion? You could call it bad emotion. You could call it loyalty, good emotion, all kinds of emotion. Yes, he has. So if you want to say he's guilty of stirring emotion up, both positive and negative, he probably is. Is he solely responsible for what happened to the Capitol? I honestly, from what I can find and what I've heard and what he said, I don't believe that's true. And for the Democrats now to try and paint a huge amount of the country, almost half of the voting public, if not that, a large amount, as guilty because they somehow are connected or affiliated or liked or voted or in some way was connected to Trump, they're guilty too, is ludicrous. Any more than all the things that went on during the summer and all the riots and that is responsible, makes guilty all the minority groups that were represented in that melee. That's not true either. So I guess in a roundabout way, I'm saying when people say, well, he's guilty, incited the riot and this and that, I don't think it was that simple. And I don't use the word simple to make it sound like it was easy. I just think it's much more complex than that. I think there were more people involved than that. It was totally out of hand. Everybody agrees it was disgusting. And Trump may have played a role in whipping up emotions, but is he guilty of doing that and being the one that should, figuratively speaking, hang for that? No. And as a result, I'm back around to your original thought, should he ever be able to run for office again? Unless there's something more that comes out that proves what he did was heinous, I don't think what they're trying to hang him with right now as never be able to run for office again is wrong. I don't think there's enough there to do that. When they have the impeachment again, there's so many things that probably won't come out, and they have this insatiable appetite for just continuing to go after this man even after he's out of office. If they truly have something that shows that there was a criminal act, couldn't agree with you more. Go after him until you prove that and so forth. But if it's not there, then this insatiable appetite of going after this guy for the rest of his life is not going to help the Democrats at all. It's going to hurt them.
Don, you want to answer, you want to talk about that?
Bruce, first of all, thank you so much for showing up today. I haven't talked with you, or we haven't heard from you
in
quite some time.
You miss me, Don? You miss me?
We miss you, man. We miss you. We miss you.
I'm here, Brother Don.
Yeah. We miss your difference of opinion.
Oh, good. Yeah, and I like giving it. So, hey, we both win.
Well, you know something, Bruce? It's going to come out when I'd say over the next 3 weeks, it's going to come out as to what part he played when he to meet him at the Capitol building. And I'm going to be with you. You know, when you're the president of the United States, I've said this before, your words have legs. You got to be careful what you say when you're the president. Your words have legs. And his words.
You're right, Don. You're right. And you have to be careful on what you say and how you say it. I agree with that.
Yeah, well, his words walked straight into that into that Congress building and sit down at Nancy Pelosi's office and put his legs up, and then brought a hang loose in there looking for his vice president. Now, that was
devastating. There's no disagreement, Don, that everybody thinks that was a terrible act. Nobody is saying it isn't, are they? Not that I've heard.
No, well, everybody says it's a terrible act, but the thing is, we got to do something about it because it should never happen again, Bruce. Never. That
I agree.
Never
I agree.
Happen again.
I agree.
Can you imagine what the other countries saw and may have a thought pattern that they could do something like that now?
I don't think, Don, that. The two different kinds of countries, the fors and against us, if I can use bad grammar, those for us, they're not laughing. They're concerned and they're sad, and I think a lot of us are. And the ones that hate us, they're licking their chops and loving it. So, and I don't think you and I would disagree on that either. We do need to get to the root of just how this all came about. And there are some things I think the president should not have said. I agree with that. But I do not think he alone or he, in the words he used, listen to the tapes. They're all over the place. Said, storm the Capitol, go in, do this. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. Did he say some things that may have made people feel that way? Possibly. I'm not in the heads of all these several hundred people that stormed the Capitol, and they're all going to, hopefully, they're all going to pay for the deed they did, the way they're tracking people down and trying to make them accountable. But I don't necessarily think the ex-president is one of those that did a criminal act. So show me where the criminal act was, then I may change my mind. But until then, that's my opinion.
One of the things that I'm concerned about is when the president left office, what he said was, we're really going to get things going because, and your comment of where did all this come from? It came from him losing the vote, losing the election. But, now he kind of, when he left office saying, we are going to go out here and this is not over yet. We haven't finished. And it was amazing to me that the Proud Boys said, you know, Donald Trump was weak. They kind of like sent out a message that, you know, he is not one of us. He's very weak, and we're going to do things. We're going to do things a little different. So what does all that mean? And why is the president saying that the Proud Boys called Trump very weak? They said he was a total failure following the inauguration. That he didn't come out and join them. And then after that, he said, well, we're all just getting started. Sounds to me like he's telling them, we're just getting started, let's go. And so my question is, Ron, your brother, I know he told you to fill up your bathtub with water and go out and buy food and stuff because the storm is coming. Riots and things are coming. Does anyone on here feel that this is really going to happen, or do we all feel it's just rhetoric? What do you think, Michael? Hello?
What happened to Ron?
I'm here, David. I'm here. I totally think it's going to happen, David, to be honest with you. I follow the right very closely, the far, far right. I follow the Proud Boys. And, yeah, they want a rematch of the Civil War. I say that all the time because they feel like they're going to win this time. And that's why I say over and over again, we've got to squash our enemies. When you defeat someone, you got to squash them totally. And after we beat them in the Civil War, we didn't. We let them live and breathe and have their states and their statues and stuff, and we should have squashed them totally. So, yeah, they're planning another Civil War. It's not over. But in regards to those that stormed the Capitol, David, I kind of, in my personal mind, I kind of think that those people that stormed it aren't going to get any sort of trouble, because their defense is going to be that we were acting on an order of our president, and they were acting on an order of their president. So in the court of law, that'll get tossed out. That any good defense lawyer will say, well, this guy was acting on the order of his president. So the president is the one that needs to be held accountable for those actions of all those people that stormed the Capitol. I don't think the people that stormed the Capitol really should be punished at all. I don't. I think Donald Trump needs to be punished for ordering those people to storm the Capitol.
Okay. What are your thoughts, Spencer? Hello, Spencer. Okay. Ron, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Bruce, you brought up some interesting points. One of them being that, and I think to some degree you're right in that, you know, the people that stormed the Capitol building, in my opinion, Michael and Bruce and Don, they should be held accountable just like whoever incited it. And by the way, you know, that's why there's a trial in the Senate, because all the evidence, everything's going to be heard. So I think in that respect, it's going to hopefully be fair, because that's the only thing I would want is for a fair trial. But, you know, to Bruce's point, I think and including my brother, one of my brothers, not the other one, you know, they're on the fringes. You know, just like the left has, you know, the real radical left, and then the right has the real radical right. And these are on both sides. There are groups that are on the fringes. I don't think they represent 70, 80, maybe even 90% of us Americans that are more or less somewhere closer to the middle, maybe a little bit closer to the left or to the right. But, you know, we're not extremists. The people that stormed the Capitol building, I think for the most part, are extremists. There may have been a few people that got caught up in the excitement of the moment, but I, you know, I wasn't there, but I would guess that there were a lot of people that were there, you know, just for the rally or the protest, that never had any intentions of going inside the Capitol, and never did. You know, I think there were probably lots of people that never even attempted to go inside the Capitol, but the ones that did, you know, those are the radicals. Those my personal belief is that it wasn't something that was incited in the moment. It was something that has been building up, you know, this pent up anger and pent up, you know, by Trump for months, saying, you know, that this is going to be a rigged election. I mean, even before the election, he was saying, you know, it's not going to be fair. It's going to be rigged. So, you know, I think the evidence needs to be heard. I think, you know, the Senate will make a ruling, and whatever the ruling is, I think is what we all need to live by moving forward and, you know, and sweep it, you know, put it behind us and move forward, because we've got a lot of issues that we need to address as Americans. And like I said, 70, 80, 90% of us are not part of those radical groups on either side. So that's what I think.
Well, Ron, right. Would you agree that if the President of the United States ordered a soldier to go attack someone, that soldier's not going to be held accountable for it? The President ordered those people to go to the Capitol, and he lied to them and told them to go after Mike Pence because Mike Pence can fix the election,
yes,
in Donald Trump's favor.
Yes.
And that was a complete lie. So he ordered those people on a lie. He needs to be held accountable for that.
Yeah, I agree, Michael. The only thing that I would say to that is that, you know, the words need to be looked at precisely, every single word that he said. And then, you know, then it needs to be determined. Do those words imply that you've been ordered to storm into the Capitol? That, I guess that's, you know, you can interpret words in different ways, you know. So I don't know if he ever said, I'm not defending him. You know where I stand on this. Defending Trump, I'm just saying, I don't know if he ever actually said, you need to storm the Capitol and take it by force. I do know that he said, you know, you got to be strong and take back the country or something like that. I do know he said that. So that's why there's going to be a trial to determine all of this.
All right, guys. We're 20 minutes left in the show, but I want to switch things up a little bit.
I got some more if I can add it.
Sure, go ahead.
I agree with a lot of what you said, Ron, and I think I apologize for coming in late, gentlemen, brothers, but from my point into the show, I think you've made the most sense that, and it does show the power of words, used, misused, interpreted different ways by different people. There were, again, I'm not defending the act at the Capitol, but several hundred, whatever the total was, people went into and caused, did the criminal act. Hundreds of thousands did not, as you said, Ron. So I'd only want to ask one opinion of you, Ron, and even Michael, if he wanted to input. But, Ron, your opinion. During parts of the summer when we had all the disruption in different cities and things getting burned down and businesses getting destroyed and all this and that, and a lot of that was different groups. I won't even label who they were because it could have been a myriad of people. That same kind of fervor should be sought out to try and find out the ones that started that, were guilty of the heinous acts, and they be held accountable. But that's never going to happen. You and I know that. That's already forgotten. Now, the couple hundred that went into the Capitol, that's focused, that's deliberate, that's terrible, but and should have never happened. But there are some things that we won't try and say if it was as bad or not as bad or whatever, but it was bad, that have happened throughout the year. And the same kind of investigative fervor and trying to get to the truth should be there as well, and not just on one side or the other. Both sides should want to get to the truth. One of the things you said, Ron, about it shouldn't be left or right, and we shouldn't apologize for this person or that person. We should always be trying to get at the truth, wherever that takes us. And I think our legislators have a real struggle doing that nowadays. There's too much politics that gets in the way.
Right. Yeah, I can't disagree that with that. Anybody that's involved in violence, I think, needs to be held accountable on any side. I mean, that's we can't put up with people destroying other people's properties, no matter what you stand for, and that's, you know, I just don't think we should put up with that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, guys, let's move into, I want to talk about the COVID-19 and the pandemic, and has anybody on this panel got the vaccine?
I can announce, I am so excited. Yesterday, I got my invite, and I'm scheduled for my first dose this coming week.
I hope you get it, Bruce, because I was scheduled for my first dose, and it got canceled.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. And you're not old enough to be in my group, that's for sure. So it must be something else for you. And I'm still kind of wondering if this is what I should do, but I think it's the best course based on what we know. So as I had told you before, I think the last show we had, I would take the vaccine, and I'm scheduled to take my first dose, and I'm going to pray that it's the right thing to do.
All right. So no one else has had it? Okay, so
there's not much vaccine out there.
No, it doesn't seem like there is. Everybody, people who are there, everybody I know is trying to get the vaccine. I am surprised at the number of people that tell me they're trying to find where to get the vaccine, what list to get on, or something like that. And nobody seems to know where to, what list or who's.
David.
Yes.
My philosophy, take it for what it's worth, was try to get on as many sources as possible. I was clued in and registered with two pharmaceutical pharmacies through stores and chains, two hospitals, and a doctor's office. 5 different ones. And you can register, seek out and register and go get your shot anywhere you want to if you wanted to drive far enough. There's no geographic boundaries. It's based on you, not on where you live or who you register with. So I think that helped me. I didn't just register with one. I registered with 5 different ones, and I religiously checked all those links at least once or twice a day. Ron, why did yours get canceled? Unless it's personal, then don't share it.
No, it's not personal at all. Mine and thousands of others that got the appointment through Baptist Hospital down here in Miami because of lack of vaccine. Now we're back to square one because they don't even hold, quote unquote, hold our spot for the next time that they get vaccines. We got to start all over again.
My French.
Yeah, no, Florida's in a mess, even though our governor goes on the air saying everything's fine, that we don't need any help. We're a mess down here, and I think Don would agree to that.
Well, I think everybody's struggling. They said 1% of the United States adult population has been vaccinated. 1%.
Ron, you hit it up right on the head. Florida is a mess. I mean, it's a travesty. Our governor has missed the boat, and he was Donald Trump's right-hand man, and we don't even have access to the vaccine here in South Florida, less known the underserved community, which it was disproportionately affected. You know, people of color can't even get to the vaccine. It's crazy. And more people of color died from COVID than any nationality, the black and brown, and they can't even get the vaccine. To be truthful with you, I'm not looking to take the vaccine. I'm going to wait until I see some evidence.
All right.
Our people need to be educated, David. We need to be educated and informed.
One of the places that's really out of control is also Los Angeles. Michael, is the vaccine very difficult to get in Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's very difficult to get out here. I hate to say that. It really, really is. I know a few people who are over the age of 65, and they are struggling every day trying to get online to get it, and it's very complicated just getting online, figuring it out. Now you're asking older people who aren't really familiar with the internet to go in there and figure out and schedule their appointments. And then when you get there and finally get your schedule, you're in line for 2 or 3 hours. Now you're asking seniors to be in line for 3 or 4 hours waiting to get a vaccine. So, yeah, it's horrible. I hate to say that because I love my city and this is an all liberal town, but they are not doing a good job. No, they're not.
Michael, in Michigan, I could almost echo what you're saying. The paperwork is unbelievably, it's a stack that you wouldn't want to carry around. I don't know how I got through it. And I am in the, obviously, over 65 age group. That's why I'm in the smaller group. But even I was surprised that I got an invite. But you're young and healthy, Michael. That's why you're towards the bottom of the list, my friend.
You know, something just hit me. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
And David, the process is once you actually take the vaccine, you have to wait 20 minutes to a half hour to make sure that there's no side effects after you've taken it. And then you have to come back in 2 to 3 weeks and take dose number 2. What's happening is a lot of people have not been able to take dose number 2 because they ran out. It's a travesty, man.
Yeah, that's not good.
You know, something dawned on me when Bruce was talking. Bruce, you were late coming on the show, and it's my understanding the billionaire Powerball was won in Michigan. Is it something you want to tell us?
It was. It was a lady in Troy.
Bruce, come on, man. Give us our money, man. Come on.
Hey, brother Don, if I was the winner, you would get help from your brother Bruce. Absolutely.
That's not why I was the winner. Glad you showed up. That's why I was so glad
was
you
not,
showed up.
Oh, is that what you thought I won and I skipped town? If I would have won, I would have been 3 hours early just waiting for you.
I was going to say, David, call him. Call him right now.
Wow. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bruce.
Like I said, I would have been 2 hours early waiting for each one of you to come on so I could scream in your ear. But no, I don't even play the lotto.
Oh, wow. All right, gentlemen, before we move on into sports, I want to say that one of the things about the COVID vaccine that was very prominent to me was that the ex-CDC chief, his name was Friedman, he put a message out there that the COVID vaccines won't drive cases down for months, that it will eventually, but it'll take months, but it will decrease the death rates. So getting the vaccine is not going to help you not get COVID-19, but might help you from passing away. So that's why I think those of us that say we're going to get the vaccine should go ahead and get it, because there is that caveat to it. All right. Is there one thing before we get into sports? There's something else about, because I do know that in the politic world, Biden is doing the best I think he thinks he can do, but McConnell and Schumer are stalled over power sharing agreement because they're 50-50, the Senate is 50-50, or the House. So it seems that McConnell is doing the best he can to step in the way of Biden, and Schumer is trying to step in and try to say, no, we should share the power, but McConnell won't do it. Do you think the vice president should step in and help that? We do know that she's the vote in case it's a tie, but shouldn't, because it's 50-50, don't you think each one of them should have some power, Bruce?
And I got short answer, yes. I got the impression that's a yes because the two of them have been friends in the past. Don't know if they're friends anymore, the two House leaders, and that they have worked together and that I was reading in some places where they've already started to negotiate some things. Now, you know, that can turn on a dime. I realize that and go dark and all fall apart. But the last I heard that they were trying to do that, but I didn't hear any particulars on how they would share or what they will share, but that they were still talking about that. Did you hear anything different?
Well, I heard that McConnell does not want to share. He just wants to be in charge because he has been in charge before. And so he's fighting.
Yeah.
He's
going to learn. He's not a dumb person. He's going to learn that things have changed. As we all say, elections have consequences. Both sides can say that. And both sides need to learn how to get along. They've been not getting along for so long, I think they've forgotten how. I mean, it's like children. Any one of us guys could probably do better than they're doing right now. They're constantly posturing, and that doesn't get anything positive done for the public. Nothing.
Yeah, hey David, and you're right, Bruce. Before we move on, I also want to touch on the fact that Donald Trump pardoned a whole lot of people on his way out. He pardoned a bunch of drug dealers and rappers and stuff like that. So I think that I commend him for pardoning all the minorities, but I think they're going to look at that. He was charging people for those pardons, and I think that's going to get looked at and come out in the future, and he's going to have to be held criminally accountable for that.
All right.
But it's snowing up there where you are, Bruce, right?
What's that?
It's snowing up there where you are, right?
Oh, yeah, we got tons of it. I think we've got like an inch and a flake in depth.
Well, the reason I'm asking, did you get some of those Bernie Sanders mittens? You got your mittens?
No, they weren't. The Bernie, I guess it's going wild. Some lady knitted them out of what? Some old scarves or old something or other. And she had given them to Bernie a long time ago, completely forgot about it, wondered whatever happened. And she didn't know it. All of a sudden, these mittens showed up on his hands at the inauguration, and she was blown away. So now
right.
her phone is ringing off the hook for orders.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
It is. It is. What's going on?
Okay, Spencer. So it's about your time for the – we're in for the sports part of the show, but we only got like 4 minutes left. So, Spencer, tell me about – Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they're heading for the Super Bowl now. So it looks like they have. Okay, who is that? That must be Don. Who is that?
No, it's Bruce. It's Bruce.
Oh.
Yay, Bucks! The Super Bowl is going to be in Tampa, Florida.
You betcha! And guess who's going? The guy that won the lotto.
Oh wow.
No, my brother gets to go, believe it or not. What a lucky dog he is.
Wow. Okay, Spencer, so tell us, in sports, who are you on for the Super Bowl? Who do you think
is
going to be?
It's a sad, sad game for sports. Sad sports. Nobody wants to see Tom Brady again in the Super Bowl, especially not me. I'm a Dolphins fan. So I grew up getting beat down by him all the time. Now to see him with another team in his first year make it to the Super Bowl, the first team to make it to the Super Bowl in their city, by the way, it just throws more salt in the wounds. So I'm happy for Tampa Bay. I'm just disappointed that Tom Brady is actually the quarterback. But nevertheless, that's what happened. So when the Chiefs win today, he would lose the Super Bowl to the former MVP, Patrick Mahomes. I think that's what's going to happen, that he's going to go and they're going to get beat down by the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And that's all in sports today. Oh, and we also had a passing of Hank Aaron. Guessing some of y'all watched him play. I didn't get the opportunity, but from what I gather, he was second in home runs and like first in like RBIs and a whole bunch of other stats. And one of the things that I seen was that he was getting like death threats because they didn't want him to break Babe Ruth's record. And I thought that was interesting. Wow, that's crazy. But that's on the side besides the Buccaneers going to the Super Bowl, that Hank Aaron passed away.
You know, the word was out that was part of COVID-19, but the doctors came out today and said it was not.
No, it wasn't. That's good.
That's good.
Right.
What a legend. What a legend.
Yeah, he was. He was a class act, too.
Class act.
We only got about a minute left, Spencer, but Steph Curry, you know, he moved to number two as the all-time three-point maker in basketball. Do you think he's going to eventually go to number one?
Pass Ray Allen. And it was crazy because while he was actually doing the interview, Reggie Miller popped up and was congratulating him. Also, and I thought that was very cool, to help out the young guy and just tell him, you know, how great he was. And, yeah, I think he's going to pass Ray Allen without a doubt.
All right, guys, we will be back next week.
And Juwan Howard in the Michigan Wolverines, go Michigan.
All right, guys.
They're
we'll
killing
see you again.
It.
All right.
Have a good week, guys.
All right. Everybody, later.
We're still on.
Bruce, thank you for coming on.